one of the guys I dated on our second date had a PowerPoint presentation for me of how our relationship was going to go, complete with, I mean, it was like pivot tables and like algorithms and stuff, no joke. And he presented it to me. And I was like, that is a bit much.
That's Lisa Anderson reflecting on a date that didn't turn out so well for her. And she was with us last time on Focus on the Family. She's back today with more insights about being a single and pursuing marriage with purpose. And your host is Focus President Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller.
Hey, John, I think the conversation last time was really helpful to a lot of singles. I hope so. And maybe the parents of singles to say, okay, now I kind of get a better idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. I loved Lisa's story about her mom at 86 reading the manuscript for her book on singleness, saying, there's some tips in here I might use when I start dating. I thought that was great. It's always good to get your mom's endorsement.
It's always good, yes.
But we want to continue that discussion today. And I think if you're in that spot and you're single and you don't know why, God, I'm still here, I think you'll hear some things today that will help you. Lisa, welcome back to the program.
Great to be back.
Now, you've chosen this bold title, The Dating Manifesto. It doesn't get any bolder than that. So what prompted you to name it that?
Well, I think I wanted it to be kind of my statement. You know, I feel like I've told people, like, I've talked this book probably 500 times in conversations, at dinner parties, you know,
conferences.
Through family conferences, that too. And people have said, Lisa, you got to put this down on paper because it's really everything that I wish I'd been told about dating and relationships in my 20s, but wasn't. And so I feel like I learned a few things a little too late. And so I want to help that younger generation move along and say, this is what I need to know before I get to the point where I'm frustrated and I'm upset and I feel like I've missed opportunities or whatever. So
for those that didn't hear last time, first of all, get the CD, get the download. It was really good. It was fast-paced and you brought so much wisdom to that discussion. You head up Boundless here at Focus on the Family. That's the singles outreach. It is under our marriage banner because we believe in family formation as part of the marriage trek. And not everybody's going to get married. We get that. We understand that. But it will be a small number that choose celibacy as their path. For the most part, a majority of people are going to choose marriage. Mm-hmm. And that's why we want to talk about the topic today. Last time we left off kind of a cliffhanger talking about preventing dating death. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great title for a chapter in a book. What were you driving at with preventing dating death?
Yeah, and I actually open up with the illustration of going to an amusement park and doing one of these sky coasters where you're harnessed in and you get hoisted up on a wire to the top of an arch, and it's like a simulated free fall or a simulated skydive.
Yeah.
And this idea that I didn't really know what I was in for, but at least I was harnessed in. And I looked and I was with a friend and I was kind of like, okay, are we going to do this? And fortunately, she was the one that pulled the ripcord because I was mildly hyperventilating. But that whole idea of if you step to the edge of a plane or, you know, figure out that you're going to go for something that's risky, you need to know what the risks are. You need to know what you're doing. Okay. So the whole idea behind preventing dating death is going in with a mindset that is geared towards success, that is geared towards knowing that you have stuff in place or you're getting stuff in place that needs to be in place, rather than haphazardly saying, well, you know, I'll go ahead and ask a couple chicks out here, or maybe I don't know about this guy, but, you know, just very, you know, a very haphazard approach to it. So it's really looking at it holistically and saying, what's the purpose of dating? What's my role in dating? How do I go about doing this?
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. What are the things that a man needs to do? And, you know, it sounds funny, but men in their 20s are men. Mm-hmm. They're not boys. Mm-hmm. And for the same for women, mm-hmm. What do men and women in their 20s and 30s, what do they need to do to build the right situation for them to be ready to marry?
Yeah, I think there are a number of things, and I'll touch on a few of them. The first one is, especially for the Christian single adult, is to know who you are in Jesus Christ and have that be your rock-solid foundation. So much of the craziness that we deal with in relating to other people and going through relational drama has to do with not understanding that the only relationship we'll ever have that will not fail us is with Jesus Christ. This is why we see so many singles running into bad relationships or staying in bad go-nowhere relationships. Or, you know, settling in many different ways that are not appropriate. We have to understand, I call it getting tight with Jesus. And this is beyond hi, I retweet Francis Chan three times a day, or I go to my singles group, or I went to a retreat or whatever. This is knowing and being in an active relationship with Jesus Christ. One other great example is, like I said, to be in a position to marry and to be a grown-up. Do you know what it means to be self-sustaining? Have you moved out from your parents' house? Have you, known what it's like to manage debt? Are you, living in a way that's responsible? Are you taking responsibility for yourself and for other people? Are you in a position of leadership, wherever that is? Are you leading in areas, whether it's actively leading, being up in front of people, or whether it's leading in areas of character and integrity? I think that a lot of these things come into play. And the best thing about it is they're all things that you can work on whether you're in a relationship or not.
Now, Lisa, some of this comes with a dose of humor. That's one of your great gifts. I mean, you have a great sense of humor. And I would think some singles that maybe that burden has been heavy. It's hard to be funny about something so serious. I'm now 35 and I haven't found my man yet. And I'm beginning to panic. The humor part of it is, especially with the people you encounter, I think you told me one story about a 75-year-old man who thought he was still in top physical shape. In fact, sent you his waist size to prove it.
Mm-hmm. He thought he was a potential.
That you got to take with a bit of a dose of humor, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, it's very much, I think we're all out there for those who are wanting to be married and those who are wanting to date. It's kind of assessing what your situation is. I mean, it really is different based on stage of life. I tell people, and there's a section I talk about in the book about putting yourself out there. And if one more person asks me, are you sure you're putting yourself out there? I mean, I may just snap because I'm like, I host an international show for single people. Okay. I mean, if I'm not out there, I don't know where I'm going to be. And so, but it can be frustrating. And this is why when I speak on college campuses, for example, I say to them straight up, you will never be in a situation where you are with as many like-minded, headed in the same direction, got their act together, same age, same stage people as you are right now. Look around you, because when you get in your 20s and you enter churches, some churches have, young adult career groups or whatever, some don't. When you move into your 30s, it becomes increasingly difficult. And, for myself, I even say in the book, I say it's weird to be considered a person who's an expert on a subject where my own advice has not yet worked for me. I am still single, so it's not something, again, that I can say, I have control over this. If I just do these five steps, it'll work out. There's certainly an element of having to trust God.
Well, and I appreciate that, but it doesn't diminish the power of observation. You're living it, which I think makes it even more powerful. Mm.
Lisa, along the way, your mom had to speak into your life. I mean, we're parents. We care about our children. My adult child is now 25. They're 30. They're 35. They haven't dated yet, or they haven't found the right one. How can we, as parents of adult kids who are in that spot, speak into their lives without just crushing them? When's it gonna be? When are you gonna start delivering the grandkids?
Yeah.
How do we do that?
I so feel for parents and even adults in the church who are wanting to speak into the lives of young adults, because there's this fear that they're gonna say the wrong thing, or maybe some parents have already said the wrong thing, and so they're being kind of shut out. So I think for parents, they have to communicate their heart first and foremost. To not approach the subject in this superior tone where you're just being nosy or trying to play off the, how's your love life, or kind of trivializing it. But to really say, I want to stand with you in prayer on this, or where to turn it around to your young adult and say, where's your heart in this? Is this, do you want to get married, or what kind of timeline are you looking at? Or, and it may be, parents, that you maybe don't have the capital right now or the relationship to be that person for your young adult. Mm. So in that case, encourage it elsewhere. Encourage a mentorship within your church. Encourage if your young adult has a coach in their life or someone who they really respect, allow that relationship to flourish and to let that person, speak in. But I think it's, to communicate that you're rooting for them, that if they have indicated a desire to be married, that you think they're worth marrying, is huge, that they have potential. And then just that you will support them along the way. I think that goes a long way with young adults.
Let me ask about online dating, because that's a big issue in the culture. You've got all of the services out there, whether it's Christian Cafe, eHarmony, whatever the name of the group, but millions of people go looking in that space. talk about the healthy way to look at that. Some Christians would say it's not a good thing to do. Others would say, no, it's just a place to find community. What's your perspective on online dating?
Yeah, I try to kind of confront the anti-online daters in the sense of saying most of them are very presumptive about saying, okay, well, online dating isn't a good thing because basically what it means is you're not trusting God. Shouldn't we all just sit around and wait for God to show us who our mate should be? And I say, you know, well, okay, but then shouldn't we be doing that for jobs? Shouldn't we just sit in our apartments and say, God will bring me a job? No, we go out and we interview and we fill out resumes and we network and stuff, or looking for housing, you know, a similar situation. So I say, no, online dating is a tool that we have available to us. In a culture that is very transient, especially with young professionals who are moving all the time for jobs, it's a great way to meet people. What you don't want to do is use it as a crutch, and you don't want to go into it with this idea of, I'm going to sign up for 5 different sites and just troll them indefinitely for a few hours each night and wink at people and send virtual gifts and all this other cyber nonsense and get into IM trails with people that go nowhere and deliver way too much of my heart in a, you know, in a digital format, and then think that that's going to get you towards marriage. Mm. There has to be accountability in online dating. There has to be process. There has to be a time frame. You know, I literally know some guys that have been online for 10 years and are not married, because they're going into basically cyclical pen pal relationships with a number of girls that just go on from one to the next.
And that goes back to something you wrote in the Dating Manifesto, and that is, be purposeful and directional mm-hmm. in your dating. Don't mm-hmm. just date to date, but have an end game, which is marriage.
Absolutely. And to have that in your head.
Well, you can get the Dating Manifesto, a drama-free plan for pursuing marriage with purpose, by Lisa Anderson when you swing by focusonthefamily.com/radio, or call us and we can tell you more, 800-A-FAMILY.
Lisa, at Focus, a lot of pastors listen. I'm grateful for the pastors who listen to the program. Mm-hmm. Speak to them about what's going on within churches from your perspective as a single and the singles that you counsel. Where is church doing well, and where is the church environment maybe letting singles down?
Mm-hmm. Sure. And actually, I'm so passionate about this topic that I devoted the end of my book to this exactly. A word to pastors, church leaders, influencers of young adults, parents of young adults. There's a word in here for you, too. And largely, I think, you know, singles get frustrated with the church because we feel like there's nothing programmed for us, which largely there isn't. I mean, you go to church, you look in the bulletin, you're going to see Awana, you're going to see women's Bible studies, you're going to see the kids programs. You're not going to see, hey, singles, here are your 12 things to choose from. So there's frustration there. I think pastors and influencers of young adults, those in the church, have kind of succumbed a little bit to that fear as well, because they have maybe tried to say something and then all the singles like jump on them like, well, that's not the right thing to say. And so they're like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything at all. And so it's kind of this, you know, cart before the horse kind of thing where we're, you know, it's a catch-22. We're not really getting anywhere. And so I think that, I'm a big fan, and I have people ask me, you know, well, what do you think about singles groups? Well, I have a love-hate relationship with singles groups, because I think that they can become a little bit insular. They can become these singles ghettos where singles just gather and just kind of feed off one another, or they become, you know, people say, oh, it's just a meat market or whatever. And that's problematic. I believe in integrated teaching and ministry. I think singles need married people in their lives. I think they need to serve within that context in the church. But I also think there's a place, singles need relationship as well, and they need friendships. And many singles move to a city because of a job or education or whatever, and they have no one from their support network there. So they need to go to church and find that. So I would love to see pastors and others find a way to really incorporate and envelop singles within the body of the church, within ministry, within, I mean, we should see single young adults in, you know, teaching Sunday school. We should see them in the choir. We should see them not just doing quote unquote singles ministry.
Yeah.
And then to the married people in the church, I say, adopt a single person or 5 in your church. You know, they may not have a place to go on Christmas or Easter or just after church on Sunday. And we need to start thinking of single young adults as adults and not, you know, I've said before here, you know, not put us at the kids' table where it's like, well, You're obviously stunted or dysfunctional because you're not married, so you don't have anything to offer. When many singles are professionals who can be on committees, can probably, you know, be your great friend. And so I think we need that cross-pollination.
That always puts a smile on my face. That's the traditional Thanksgiving environment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a minute about the grief that some singles will feel. Like, God has abandoned them. This is a desire of their heart. The scripture says that God will meet the desires of your heart. Marriage is a good thing. It's a God-ordained thing. Now I'm 33, 34, maybe older, and I've prayed, but I haven't received the answer to that prayer. You can start to develop quite a bit of bitterness there. How does a single person who hasn't been given that gift of marriage yet, how do they keep in a good place with their relationship with God?
Yeah, I have walked through that season and I still enter it occasionally. I tell people I wrote this book as a single person. I am still single. I'm not looking back on this season with all kinds of awesome advice for people of how I conquered my singleness or how I finally, you know, 12 steps to making it to marriage. I'm still walking this journey as well. And I think it's one of those things where when we look at the grief, the first thing we have to do is name it and be okay with it. I mean, there are a lot of griefs surrounding singleness, especially if you do not feel called to singleness and you feel like this is something that you want in your own story. Again, I come back to biblically, marriage is a good thing. God's the one who thought it up and he's the one who designed it. And he's the one that is for marriage more than any of us. And so the single person who is not there yet and wants that, I always go to the Psalms. I tell people, you know, there's a reason why God said, pour out your complaint. You know, now God wants you to pour out your complaint. The person to not pour out your complaint to is the guy that you want to be dating but hasn't asked you out.
Don't be
That's getting catty and crazy. Okay. So, but God wants to hear your heart. God wants to see your tears. And so to be willing to do that, be willing to own it, be willing to admit your desire for marriage in a very honest way. Because again, it is a good thing. It is normative. I think we need to take away the shame of wanting marriage. It's like become this thing that if you say you want it, you're just being kind of desperate and sad and you're not trusting God or whatever. So I really encourage people to just to name that. But then there are also other things to do as well, and to look at where you are right now and to recognize, to count blessings, to count. I reference sometimes a blog post that I wrote for Boundless where it was right around Thanksgiving and I wrote a post called Thanks for Nothing. And of course, we know the phrase just means like, you know, well, thanks for nothing. Like we weren't given what we wanted. But I had actually gone through and chronicled a number of things that I had been denied in my life. And some relationships were definitely some of them. The guy with the PowerPoint would be a good example. And I thought, oh, I need this in my life. This is something I need. I'm not going to be complete if I don't have this. I won't, you know, I won't be okay. And looking back now, I realize how the denial of those things was some of the best intervention from God that I ever could have seen. And so I think perspective helps.
It really does. But there is that need to, kind of guard your heart from getting bitter toward God. I think there's nothing guaranteed in this life. I mean, mm-hmm. As an orphan kid, I wasn't guaranteed parents. You've got to kind of deal with what environment the Lord puts you in. Mm-hmm. And I think also to understand that God feels confident that you can manage it, mm-hmm. and to take some solace in that mm-hmm. the Lord knows your ability. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in that place of singleness right now, God knows you're there, mm-hmm. and to stay true and stay strong and keep moving forward.
And to know that he ultimately has my story. I mean, if I truly believe that God is both sovereign and he's good, then who better person to put myself in his hands? You know, I mean, it's like, it's silly for me to think that I can be on a hamster wheel over here thinking I'm going to affect things in my life or change things and then completely discount God. You know, it's one of those things where you say, well, I've exhausted all my options, so maybe I better pray about it. Mm-hmm. No, from the get-go, I need to trust that whatever timeline I'm on, whatever story God's scripting, he's got my back. I mean, he certainly knows me better than anyone else. And he is, you know, in control. He has, you know, I tell people, I say, you know, go to God who knows your story and actually has the power to do something about it. You know, yet we gripe at people, we complain, we get into bad relationships, we take matters into our own hands, instead of just recognizing that ultimately our story is God's anyway, and we need to ride out that path with him.
Well, that is really strong and good. And what I want to do now, we've got a few people out here in the audience, and I think it'd be great to open up the microphones. I think
sure.
a number of them are single, and we want them to ask questions of you and, you know, give them some help right here practically. So let's go to the first person.
What's the worst dating advice you've ever received?
You know, there's a bunch of stuff that I've received, a bunch of advice that I've had to just let go, or some of it I've taken to my own demise. But I would say one of the most pervasive comments that I've heard that's troublesome is basically a Christian variation of the just follow your heart. Being told that, you know, don't worry, all you need to do is follow your heart, you know, see where this thing goes. Don't be afraid to trust. I mean, I think it's one of those things where we have to look at a relationship objectively, and it's a hard balance to have because you don't want to be a scientist. You don't want to go sit down with your, which again is one of my failings. You know, I host a show, so I love to go into interviewer mode, and I'm on a date and I'm like, well, here are my 12 questions. Let's work through them. You know, no one wants to be Barbara Walters-erized or whatever. But at the same time, you don't want to enter into this emotionally driven sense of just, don't worry, it'll all work out. All you have to do is just follow. What's your heart telling you? What's your heart? You know, we know that the heart is problematic by biblical standards. So I think that is probably something I hear pretty often. It's, again, a little Hollywoodized version of taking matters into your own hands.
But be intentional is what I hear. Mm-hmm. Don't just be passive.
Well, and have very, again, from the get-go, have very real things that you know are non-negotiables in a relationship. Like, you will only date legitimate believers in Jesus Christ who evidence their relationship with Christ outside of your relationship. You know, I've dated a lot of people who are like, okay, well, now I'm dating someone, so I guess I need to start going to church. You know, or now I'm dating someone, so I guess I better join this Bible study, or I guess I better start looking like I'm doing leadership things.
So their faith is a means to an end.
Right.
And that
right.
is to marry you or get to know you better.
Right. And many young adults think that their life will start when marriage starts. And I tell people, you know what? Singleness is not a waiting room for marriage. It is a time, you know, it is a time in life. It is a season, but it is not, you know, again, holiness, sanctification, service, all of these things are asked of all of us, not just married people.
Do you find there's danger in dating alone? And how do you involve your friends and family and church in that process so that you have someone looking out for your relationship and will ask you the hard questions? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think it's something that's often overlooked, even within the church, when it comes to dating relationships. For some reason, we have this idea that you hang out with your friends when you're single, but then when you start dating, you just become glommed onto this other person with no other input. And I go so far as to say in the book that before you even start dating, you put a community in place. You get a group of friends, and, you know, they could be some single friends, but also I recommend a married couple, a mentorish type person, especially someone who has a successful marriage, who is going to be your eyes, your ears, and your objectivity. Because mm-hmm. We just heard some of my story. When you start dating someone, it's just like your mind goes out the window. All of a sudden, you just are into this person and you're just all about them. And my goal was always like, I want to make this a success. I don't want to be rejected and I don't want to have a broken relationship because that's going to say something about me. Like, I can't do a relationship or whatever. So I would just make it work and I would just soldier through. And then when I talk about community, I actually say, pick three people that you know and trust that you will say they have complete veto power over your relationship.
Boy, so that's gutsy.
If all three of them agree that the person you're dating is a loser, you call it off. No questions asked. So, and mean they can ask you questions in the meantime. They can ask for pushback. You know, they can whatever. But you know and trust them to say, I am going to listen to you, recognizing that my own heart can lead me astray, recognizing that my own circumstances, my own fears can lead me astray. I will trust you in this process.
And Lisa, is it my understanding that at one point your mom was actually on your team?
My mom was on my team. You know, my mom is a prayer warrior extraordinaire. Mm-hmm. That is her gifting. She loves it. She doesn't understand why I'm still single. She basically thinks I'm still single because I've had numerous opportunities to be married, but I've turned them all down. Not necessarily true. But what's funny is as I've gotten a little bit older, she's just kind of like started throwing out more and more ideas for me of guys that have been in her sphere to the point where one time she called me after church and she lives several states away And she said, Lisa, next time you're out here, you've got to meet this guy that is new to our church. And I said, okay, well, cool. Tell me about him. What'd you learn? What's, you know, where is he from? What's a little of his background? And she said, no, I actually haven't met him yet. I just saw the back of his head during the service. And I'm like, okay, functionally, Mom, you are done.
You're so, out of my three.
My team of three,
you're no longer on the team
of three.
So all
that to say, my mom, bless her heart, she's gotten a little bit desperate on my behalf. And so we need people on our teams who have discernment, who are willing to say what's what, who are willing to be that mirror to ourselves. Because there are some of us that are dating that have very real things we need to be looking at in our lives that we're totally ignoring. And so... you have to find the people that love you, know you, and are willing to tell you what's what.
That is really good. Lisa Anderson, author of the book, The Dating Manifesto, A Drama-Free Plan for Pursuing Marriage with Purpose. It's been great to have you on the program. And thanks for your thoughts, and we'll be praying for you. And always, joy in the single life and for that future mate.
God is good wherever we are. Thanks, you guys.
Well, it has been so great to hear from Lisa today with heart and humor, and we love what she's doing, and I hope you're inspired by what she shared today to get a copy of the book, The Dating Manifesto, which, as you've heard, is a step-by-step guide for your single journey, and it's going to give you practical ideas on how to live your single life with some intentionality and have some fun along the way. Now, that makes a great resource for you, for a single in your church or your family. Get a copy of that and a CD or download of this two-part conversation at focusonthefamily.com/radio. And as Lisa has indicated, every day our Boundless Ministry is helping singles to really become who God wants them to be. And the website averages over 180,000 unique visits a month. And the radio program reaches a similar number of people every week. One woman recently wrote us and thanked the Boundless team, saying, "Your website post today about not giving up hope for marriage was what I needed to see. It was so affirming. At 33, I've wrestled with drifting into cynicism and giving up on hope that God has anyone out there for me. I thought I was surrendering to what I assumed was God's will for my life, but your post and the scripture you used definitely convicted this type A person that giving up hope is just another form of trying to wrestle control from God. He's used you to touch this heart today, so thank you." And isn't it good to know that when you contribute to the work of Focus on the Family, you're helping us reach singles like that person and offer a message of hope and encouragement worldwide. So please, make a financial contribution today, join the support team, and have a worldwide impact when you call 800, the letter A, and the word family. And today, when you contribute generously, we'll send a copy of Lisa's book, The Dating Manifesto, as our way of saying thanks and putting this excellent resource into your hands or perhaps for you to share with someone. Again, that number, 800-232-6459. Our program today was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, thanking you for listening and inviting you back tomorrow when we'll kickstart the upcoming school year by giving you some fun, creative ways to help your child learn more effectively as we provide encouragement to help your family thrive.